Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal, and made an Asherah, as Ahab king of Israel had done, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem I will put my name." For he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft, and used divination, and dealt with mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Then he set the carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not make the feet of Israel wander any more from the land which I gave their fathers, if only they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law and that my servant Moses commanded them." But they did not listen, and Manasseh seduced them to do evil more than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the sons of Israel. Now the Lord spoke through his servants, the prophets, saying, "Because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, having done wickedly more than all the Amorites did who were before him, and also has also made Judah sin with his idols, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity on Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will abandon the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become as plunder and spoil to all their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight and have been provoking me to anger since the day their fathers came from Egypt even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Besides, his sin with which he had made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin which he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon his son became king in his place. Now Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Heraz of Jotbah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done. For he walked in all the way that his father had walked, and served the idols that his father had served, and worshipped them. So he forsook the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him, and killed the king in his own house. Then the people of the land killed all those who had conspired against King Ammon, and the people of the land made Josiah his king, or his son king, in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Ammon, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And he was buried in his grave in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son became king in his place. Amen. So if you remember the passage before, I mean, I know it was a while back, but remember Hezekiah showed all his treasure. So Isaiah the prophet said, man, everything is going to be taken away from you. You know, what you showed the kings of Babylon, they're going to do. And so we see this happening, but it was only meant to happen to the successive generation. And remember Hezekiah said, he said to himself, I guess that's a good thing, because at least it won't happen to me, it'll happen to my sons. And so you see through Hezekiah's actions, the ramifications through his sons. And so the first son, you have Manasseh, and then we'll hear about Ammon real quick. So Manasseh, remember, he's 12 years old, which basically means that he was 3 years old, or he was born 3 years into Hezekiah's 15 years. So these were the down years of Hezekiah. Remember, Hezekiah was faithful. He got rid of the high places. So his son didn't grow up with that father. He grew up with a different father. And most likely, what most scholars say, that his father actually didn't even raise him. He was raised by nannies and other kind of leaders that seemed to be quite opposed to the God of Israel. So Manasseh becomes king at 12 years old. And we know that he does evil in the sight of the Lord. And this is so sad. In one generation, this happens. Hezekiah tears down the high places, tears down the altar, and his son, Manasseh, rebuilds them. Didn't even last one generation. I mean, how sad is that that happens? And I think this is a really important lesson for us, especially for us that are parents. I was in Sydney over the weekend, and on Sunday morning, I kind of did a message on parenting and how important it is for us to raise godly kids. That was the whole title of the message. And how important for us also as a church that we make sure that the next generation, that we raise them up well. Because it could change. I mean, think about this. It changes in one generation. And if you go through the kings, and then we'll read in the Chronicles, we find that generally good lasted a very short time. Evil usually lasted at least 2-3 generations. I mean, just doing a survey, I'm not trying to get any conclusion from that, but it's much easier, or I should say the natural flow of life turns to evil, right? We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, not even one. And so our natural inclination is to draw towards evil instead of towards good. And that's what happens here. So he builds the high places. He rebuilds. I mean, how tragic. He rebuilds the high places which his father had destroyed. Can you, I mean, brothers and sisters, can you imagine? I would consider myself to be kind of first generation Christian in the sense that I didn't grow up in a Christian home. But just think about all our sacrifice, my wife and I, all of our devotion. And because we didn't raise our kids right, because we didn't raise them in the fear of the Lord, everything that we've done could be undone in a generation. And so he built altars. He let his son pass through the fire, which means that he was, there's some debate about this, but in any case, he either was given to a child sacrifice or primarily was dedicated to the god of Molech or something to that effect. He did evil on the side of the Lord. He even took the images of the Asherah. Remember, these were sexual deities, and he had given these ones, and they set it aside and put it into the house of the Lord, the very place where the glory of God dwelt. Can you imagine something like this happening? And it's so sad how this works. He practiced witchcraft and divination. The translation there actually is ventriloquists. And so there were these charlatans that, and what would happen was Manasseh would come and they would ask a question to Manasseh and to his spiritist, and then they would use another voice to speak like from the dead and these type of things. And so, I mean, all kinds of witchcraft was taking place, and it says it provoked the Lord to anger. He even took the carved image and put it in the house of the Lord. He even did more than that. If you look at verse 16, he shed innocent blood, which means that anyone that disagreed with Manasseh, in other words, those that wanted to follow the God of Israel, he murdered and he killed. And so, I mean, this is such an evil king. And it says here that he was so evil, he was more evil than the Amorites. He was more into divination and sorcery and idolatry, even more than the nations which he learned these things from. And I mean, this is the detail of how horrible his reign becomes. And he does all these things. And he says, because he does all these things, the Lord sends a judgment on Jerusalem and Judah that will be carried out in the Babylonian captivity. And he uses his line. He says in verse 13, I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria. In other words, Samaria, it was dealing with Ahab, the house of Ahab. That was kind of the line that you don't cross over, and Manasseh crossed over this line. And the plummet of the house of Ahab, that was the standard, and he was even worse than the house of Ahab. So he's going to wipe Jerusalem out as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down, which will lead into the captivity that we see later on. And he provokes him to anger. That's going to happen. Then his son succeeds him. And interestingly enough, his son only lasts 2 years. He was such a bad king. I mean, not only bad in the sense of as it pertains to the Israelites, but bad in the sense of he didn't know how to rule. So he has own men killed him after 2 years. Now, obviously, we know that's wrong, so those men were also killed, but that's basically the story of Amon. We barely know nothing about this guy, and he's buried in his grave. And then, thankfully, a good king comes about, Josiah, that we'll read about in the next chapter. So as we look at chapter 21, we look at Manasseh, I hope that there's inspiration in our hearts and just the fear of the Lord, that, man, we make sure that we raise our kids in the ways of the Lord. You know, sometimes I'm so distraught as a pastor when I hear conversations, you know, especially with moms, and I'm sure dads have the same conversation, but really in many ways, sometimes our moms are more concerned with our kids getting into the right schools. You know, our kids, you know, getting into the right daycare program or, you know, the right elementary school and these type of things, but yet pay very little attention to their spiritual life. You know, making sure that, number one, that your kids are on time for church. I know I'm, you know, none of you guys have kids, so I should really be speaking this to a different audience, but hopefully people are listening online. You know, I mean, it's so distressing, you know, to see parents who are more concerned about a child's education than a child's spirituality. And thereby, your kids are late to church almost every Sunday. I mean, what's up with that, right? That they don't get to worship the Lord because they're so distracted because they come so late. You know, we're so concerned with putting on our own makeup and those type of things instead of being on time for the house of the Lord. That's a problem. That's a serious problem. And so we see that, and this is not meant to scare anyone, you know, to this effect, but take note of how important it is for us to take care of spiritual matters as it pertains to the home in this regard, right? That we should be, you know, and I know that we take our kids on holiday, which is a wonderful thing, but do we pray with our kids, you know, very often? Do we read the scripture with our kids, even our babies? Do we talk about spiritual matters? Do we take into account those lessons at Noah's Ark, the emails that they send us? And do we take some time to look over the lesson with our children? Are we preparing our kids spiritually? Are we making sure there's a spiritual legacy that's being passed on? Because it's not just going to happen purely out of osmosis. It's not going to happen because, oh, I'm a Christian, and so my kids will be Christian. Well, who knows? I mean, who knows? Here's Hezekiah, faithful man of God. I mean, the last 15 years, not so much so. But yet there wasn't a simple transfer in that regard. And so it matters how we live our life. It matters the way that we raise our kids. It matters that we pray for them. It matters that we pray with them. It matters that we read to them and we read with them the scriptures and books and all kinds of stuff. It's important that we raise the next generation so we don't have Manasses. Can you imagine all the faithfulness and the spiritual gifts and all those things that God has blessed us with dies out in the next generation, just like it does to Manasseh? I mean, what an absolute tragedy if that were to happen. Amen? Now, I know this is the wrong crowd, but I just have to get that out of my system, all right? So let's close our eyes. I know a lot of you guys are single here, but that's okay. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If you have kids, let's dedicate our kids again to the Lord. And children are a blessing of the Lord. That's what Psalm 127 says. And one day we'll have the privilege of shooting them out. Remember, our quiver is full of them. We'll have the privilege of shooting them out into the world to make an impact and difference for Christ. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you about the kids that you have or the kids that you will have. Let's make a commitment that we're not just going to be lazy Christian parents. Not only are we going to live faithfully, but we're going to teach our kids to live faithfully. Right, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And you shall teach them to your children when they rise up, when they go down. And the privilege of sons and daughters of God teaching the next generation of sons and daughters of God. Should not let the law depart from them. And maybe you're a lazy Christian parent. Repent and turn away. And grab a hold of those disciplines for our kids. Let's pray.
shout in awe of you.
Now let's pray. Let's particularly pray for the next generation. Now let's pray for our Noah's Ark kids. Let's pray for our sons and daughters, that they would grow up loving God. They would even love God more than we do. I mean, they would just take their relationship with the Lord to the whole next level. And we would prepare our kids, not just for them to love God, but for their kids' kids' kids to love God. Generational transfer, generational blessing would really flow. And maybe we need to change some parts of our lifestyle to see that happen. So let's ask God to change us. And let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our children, our babies, our college students, our high school students. And let's pray that they would follow the Lord. And let's lift up. Let's pray over our community, and let's ask God to heal those ones that are dealing with cancer and going through therapies, and let's pray for His healing word and the comfort of God to come over them. Pray for our community that's looking for healing, but more importantly, need to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for that word of salvation. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. And let's pray for God's open doors and His provision. Our mission focus this morning. Let's pray for our churches and countries. Let's pray for Singapore. Let's pray for Pastor Sam Kim. Let's ask God's blessing over him, the ministry there in SP. Sam is actually in China visiting an orphanage, and so we just cover him. Well, he's up at Chichihar. Let's pray for Indonesia. Let's pray for the most populous Muslim country in the world. Pray for Spin. Pray for Pastor Selamat and his ministry, his family. And let's just cover our churches in these countries. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, our IP, Well, and River. Let's ask the pray for the leaders and ask for covering. Particularly pray for Belinda and Janice as they take over for Rachel on maternity leave. They all have retreats coming up within the next few months. And let's pray that Holy Spirit would really meet with all of our leaders and that every person that comes into these ministries, either for prayer or for healing, would really receive a touch from the Lord on this cover. Let's lift up our education ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for our pastors and leaders. Pray for all of our volunteers and teachers. Ask the Lord to anoint them. Ask the Lord to encourage them and to just give them the fire to be able to lead our kids in the ways of the Lord. Obviously, let's pray for our students, college kids, youth group kids. Let's pray for our kids, our babies. Let's pray that we as a church would really raise them well into the fear of the Lord. Let's pray for outreaches tonight, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide, and there'll be a tremendous amount of anointing tonight as they go out to minister to the needy here. Let's lift up house church tonight, or East Bay and Olympic. And let's pray for our leaders and every person that comes out, that they would really connect with God and connect with each other. And lastly, let's pray for the Mongolia mission trip. They're coming back on Sunday. Let's pray for Pastor Ricky, who's leading the team, that they would be used well there in Mongolia. Let's lift up. Pray together. Father, thank you, God, this morning. Thank you again for the reminder of how important it is, God, to raise up the next generation, Lord. Help us as a church to be faithful. Help us as parents to be faithful. God, and even for singles, God, that are thinking about having kids later after they get married, Lord. Lord, help them to really begin to foster habits in their life now, Lord, that will reap benefits upon their kids, Lord, when that time comes. And so we thank you, Lord. Help us, God. Lord, to raise our kids in a manner that's worthy of you, to raise them in the fear of the Lord. We bless you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.